You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
BC ambulance paramedics have been on strike since April 4th. They're negotiating for faster responses time, better staffing levels, and wage parity with other emergency services. The paramedics have continued to provide ambulance services under essential service orders for the past 4.5 months. But they've recently stepped up their attempts to inform the public about the strike, taking off their familiar uniforms and putting on T-shirts carrying the message, "On strike to save lives." BJ Shute is Director of Public Education with the Ambulance Paramedics of BC, and he joins me this morning from Whistler. Hello, BJ.
Hi, good morning.
Let's look at the issues of wages first. The government says you're looking for a 30% increase. Is that the case?
No, I think the government's being very disingenuous with those remarks and, in an attempt to paint paramedics as greedy cash grabbers during an economic crisis. So, an increase such as that, I've even heard as high as 40% coming from the government, would be unrealistic and unbelievable. In fact, that's what the government characterizes it. So paramedics are not on strike for a wage increase such as that. We're on strike to improve the ambulance service. The BC Ambulance Service, it is the province-wide run ambulance service in the province of British Columbia, is broken and is in a critical condition and needs to be fixed. And those fixes need to happen at the bargaining table.
Tell us what you are looking for in terms of wages. What are the issues there?
Well, as far as wages, what I can tell you is that paramedics in this province are the lowest paid emergency responders. When you look at us compared to, say, police and fire services, there is a discrepancy up to about 30% with paramedics and other emergency responders. So there is no actual open offer from either side, or I shouldn't probably speak for the ambulance service and the government, but there's certainly no offer tabled at this moment from the union. We haven't been at the bargaining table for going on a couple of months, so to put a number on a negotiation would be unrealistic. It would just actually not really be something we could even do because we're not at the bargaining table. But what we are on strike for is more resources, more ambulances, more paramedics, better training, and being able to provide an emergency service to the public and an emergency service to the citizens and visitors of British Columbia in a timely fashion.
What I understand that the majority of paramedics in BC work on a call-out basis. How does that work?
Yeah, it is a fairly complicated structure here in British Columbia. We are staffed by both full-time and part-time paramedics, but the part-time members are not guaranteed any hours, so it's not really a true part-time position as most people would consider. I think in a retail position or a tourism position, something like that, if you were a part-time worker, you would be working, say, 20 or 25 hours per week. That's not the case for paramedics in British Columbia. Part-time paramedics are either in the community carrying a pager, in which they receive a $2 an hour stipend for, or at the station, standing by, ready to respond to emergencies, and being paid a $10 an hour stipend for that. And when and if an emergency happens, those paramedics are paid their regular rate of pay. So it's a system that is making it very difficult to recruit newer and brighter paramedics into our profession, as well as a system that's being proven to be difficult to retain paramedics as well. And we're seeing many of the part-time paramedics leave our profession for greener pastures in other emergency services or other healthcare fields as well in this province.
What kind of response times are usual in rural areas?
Well, rural is very difficult to nail a response time down because the distance traveled for an emergency. If we're going from, say, a station, if I can call Pemberton, I don't think Pemberton really is a rural community, but just north of here is Pemberton or Lillooet, for example, where the geography is just so huge that, at the best of times, people are an hour away from the community at either their summer cottage or their farm or their house, whatever the case may be. So what I can tell you, though, is that in metropolitan areas where we can expect a timely response from an ambulance or from emergency services, the national benchmark is to respond to 90% of those emergencies within 8 minutes. here in British Columbia, our response time is actually a little bit less. They say that the response time target should be 90% of your emergencies within 9 minutes. But unfortunately, we don't achieve that, and we only actually achieve that benchmark about half of the time. So there's over 40% of the emergencies that take place in metropolitan areas have response times that are longer than the benchmark of 9 minutes here in British Columbia, or the national benchmark of 8 minutes.
So what are the factors that that lead to having those longer response times, or I guess that that prevent us from having shorter response times?
Well, the biggest factor is there's just simply not enough ambulances to handle the daily calls that we respond to and the daily emergencies that paramedics tend to. And when we look at, in many areas, the response numbers, the number of responses that paramedics do has in many cases doubled, yet the number of ambulances on the road is the same or virtually the same. So when we're trying to respond to twice as many emergencies with the same number of resources, we just simply can't do it. There's just simply not enough ambulances to do that, and we need to rely on ambulances from surrounding communities, which obviously take longer to respond.
Do paramedics in rural areas typically have the same amount of training as paramedics in urban areas?
We do. That's a huge benefit to being a provincial ambulance service here, and one of the many reasons why other provinces are looking to convert their ambulances into, or their ambulance services into, a provincial service is that we do have standard training. Unfortunately, though, what's happened over the past few years is the access to training has become more and more difficult. So many paramedics who should be trained to the what's referred to as the primary care paramedic or the basic life support paramedics here in British Columbia don't have the access to training that they should have, and don't have the training in their communities the way that we should have as well. So that's certainly another hurdle, and another key factor as to why it is that British Columbia can't recruit and retain paramedics, particularly in the rural and remote areas of the province.
What kind of challenges do paramedics face in urban areas like Vancouver?
Well, in urban areas, again, it's the same thing that we were talking about in the response times. When, for example, where I work in the West End of Vancouver, we simply go from, emergency to emergency. So once we get to the hospital and we get cleaned up and hand our patient over, there's another emergency that's waiting for us. And, it's just increasingly difficult to get to those emergencies in a timely fashion. And unfortunately, that burden is put on the paramedics, and the frustration from the patients or potential patients and family is taken out on the paramedics, when really it's the system that's in crisis. It's not the paramedics that are holding up the response times or responsible for that. In fact, it's, again, one of the key reasons that we're, in this labor dispute and the key dispute that we have with this government right now.
Now, the union also has concerns about conditions at ambulance stations in BC. What are the issues there?
Well, we have, many concerns about ambulance stations, and again, it's a simple matter of the province not keeping pace with the growth of either the province or the ambulance service as it is. So if we look at the station in Port Moody, for example, it's an ATCO trailer that's just simply being plunked down onto the front lawn of the fire hall, and that's not a sufficient ambulance station. There's nowhere there to properly house and clean the ambulance. There's nowhere there that to safely store any medications or equipment that we need to keep warm and dry, as well as it's just not a good place morale-wise for paramedics. It's very depressing to have any sort of downtime spent or time spent training in the station or studying in the station within an environment such as that. And another example would be Revelstoke, for example, was in an old bus garage for over a year and a half because there was no ambulance station there. So it's certainly there's some infrastructure improvements that need to be made, and they need to be made in order to provide an ambulance service and to provide the communities with something that they expect. I think that really an ambulance station should be the focal point of a community. It shouldn't be the embarrassment of that community.
Tell me a little bit about the status of the strike now, because I've seen paramedics wearing T-shirts now and not their regular uniform, but you basically appear to be at work doing pretty much the same thing as you would be doing if you're not on strike. So what's the status of the strike and your negotiations?
Well, unfortunately, the government continues to stall, and this stalling is putting patients' lives at risk. Like I was saying, the ambulance service, quite frankly, is broken. It needs to be fixed, and we need to be at the bargaining table working together. The government needs to come to that table and needs to work with paramedics and not work against paramedics to find solutions to fix a broken ambulance service. And the T-shirts are just one small example. I guess one thing I can say about the T-shirts is it certainly seems to be an aggravating force or almost a hill to die on for our employer. They are actively and daily threatening paramedics with suspension, threatening paramedics with termination. One case last week, they sent a paramedic home for not having his uniform shirt on and for wearing a T-shirt. And when you look at the fact that there just simply is not enough ambulances to go around on any day as it is, to send somebody home for such a, really what I would think is such a small gesture from the union, or a small symbol from the union that we're on strike, is just absolutely crazy that they would take an ambulance out of service and jeopardize people's lives for the sake of a T-shirt.
Tell me a little bit about your slogan, Save Our Paramedics, because it kind of implies that there's a threat of paramedics being eliminated. So what's behind that slogan?
Well, our slogan really, like anything, is to attract public attention. But it is a case that, paramedics do need saving. We need saving from this government. We need an ambulance service and a system that we can work within to save lives. And that's what paramedics do. We are out in the communities providing care and saving lives on a daily basis. And now it's time that the paramedics need saving, and the paramedics need the support from the communities. And we've had an overwhelming support from the members of the public and from the communities themselves in that, for example, our website, saveourparamedics.com, the visits to our website has doubled in the past 2 weeks. And we get requests for the T-shirts that you mentioned, and we have lawn signs that are up in people's lawns as well that advertise our strike. And, the communities are very supportive of paramedics. But I think one of the sort of downfalls that paramedics have in our campaign is that most people don't wake up thinking they're going to need an ambulance. Most people don't wake up in the morning and think that their child is going to drown, or that their mother is going to have a heart attack, or their spouse is going to fall and need to be picked up off the bathroom floor. So until one of those life-threatening situations or an emergency happens, most people really don't think about paramedics in their community. So it is incredibly important, and it would mean a lot to the paramedics of British Columbia if members of the public could continue to log on to our website and continue to use the tools on our website to send a strong message to Victoria that it's time to stop stalling and come back to the bargaining table and work with paramedics to find solutions.
Well, tell me then, what are you asking people to do to show their support and to help you out with the strike?
Well, mostly we're referring people to our website, but we also understand that not everybody is internet savvy. Not everybody finds the internet a convenient tool. So writing letters to people's MLAs and politicians, and writing letters to even the BC Ambulance Service, showing letters of or comments of support and urging the government to come back to the bargaining table and again, work with paramedics and stop working against paramedics to fix a system that's in crisis.
Well, thanks very much for talking with me this morning. I know you took some time out of your own weekend up there in Whistler, and I really appreciate it.
I appreciate your time as well and your continued support. Thank you.
I've been speaking with BJ Shute. He's Director of Public Education for the Ambulance Paramedics of BC, and you can find out more info at the website, saveourparamedics.com.